Before I give my word, I kind of want to give a word to Michelle. Is that okay? Michelle, our worship leader, where's she at? Could have sworn I saw you. Michelle, you know, as you are worshiping, I just feel like I saw this image. My daughter Shiloh, she's about 2.5, and we just bought her a sand playing set, you know, with like a little castle maker, a little shovel. And in that set comes a little watering pot or watering can. You know, the thing that looks like a shower head, and when you pour out it, like multiple streams of water flows out. I just saw this little plastic water pot just being poured over your head as you were leading worship. And I just felt like there's been a season where God has been digging a lot of things in your heart. There's been a lot of digging. There's been a lot of going deeper. It hasn't been a comfortable season. It hasn't been a pleasant season. It's been a tough season of God taking you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I just feel like there's a shift happening. And what I saw is now it's time to water. And the thing about a watering can is when the water hits the soil, the seeds now sprout. And I feel like things that you didn't even know God was depositing in you in this past season is going to begin to blossom. And you're going to realize, oh, what? That was there? And oh, what? You did that? And oh, what? That was there? And things that was going on, not only in this past season, but in your life, is going to begin to make sense. And you're going to be able to see, wow, God, you strategically placed that inside of me. You strategically put this situation in that time, at that season, so you can water it now, because God is going to cause you to bloom. So get ready, because a water, a little plastic watering pot is on you, and you're going to get showered with that life. You believe it? Come on, say, bless Michelle. Bless Michelle. Okay, let's open up our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. By the way, happy Father's Day. Any fathers in the house? Oh, snap. There was about to see. No, no, no. Okay, well, make sure to call your fathers. Y'all need some fathers. You guys have some fathers in Itaewon, right? Or soon to be fathers. That's right. Shout out to Nathan and Emil. Okay, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. If you're there, I want you guys to read those verses with me. I'm reading from the ESV, so if you have that version, read it out loud so we don't have confusion, okay? And if you have another version, that's all good. Just read it along in your mind, all right? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read that passage again in the New King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you all to say, be anxious for nothing. I say that again. Be anxious for nothing. Today I want to talk about anxiety. Anxiety. I looked up the word anxiety, and some of the definitions that I found was this: a feeling of worry, nervousness, unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Or another definition was an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil. In essence, anxiety is having concern or worry about the future. Concern or worry about the future. Some of the synonyms for anxiety is fret, agonize, overthink, brood, panic. Oh, wait, no, those are the synonyms of worry. Why can't I say that word? Synonyms. Synonyms of anxiety are worry, concern, apprehension, uneasiness, fearfulness, disquiet, agitation, angst, nervousness, tension. Everybody say tension. Worry. Worry about your future. Now, I looked up the definition for worry, and it says to give way to anxiety or unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. To allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. And the synonyms of worry are what I mentioned earlier, fret, agonize, overthink, panic, lose sleep, get worked up, get stressed, torment oneself. Worry about your future. How many of you guys have ever worried about your future? How many of you guys ever agonized over your future, panicked over your future, lost sleep over your future, got worked up over your future, got stressed over your future? How am I going to pay for this? When am I going to get married? Will I even get married? Am I going to teach English forever? How long do I have to live with this person? Am I actually living out my calling? Where's my children going to go to school? How am I going to handle this new responsibility? How am I going to pay the bills? Have you ever been worried about your future? Have those thoughts ever come into your mind? Worried about your anxiety. Anxiety. We've all experienced levels of anxiety, but the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. The Word of God doesn't even give a little bit leeway. Be anxious, not for the little things, but for the big things, you know, go ahead, be anxious. It's okay. I understand. No, even for the most important decisions of your life, God says, be anxious for nothing. Even for the most difficult circumstances that you're facing, God says, doesn't matter. Be anxious for nothing. The command is to be anxious for nothing. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be anxious for nothing. If you look at verse 7 of that passage, it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. That word guard here in Greek, it describes a militant action. It's not just like a cute little dog like guarding its home. It's like an army with guns. Guarding its property. It's a militant action. It's a diesel guarding that's going on. In fact, one commentary says it like this. The word guard talks of militant action to prevent hostile invasion. You know, that's what anxiety is. It's a hostile invasion. It's an invasion in your mind. It's an invasion in your heart. It is trying to take over. And the funny thing is, we get surprised. The problem is when we are under the illusion that if we do our part, life is supposed to be smooth. If we do our job well, if I live good enough, it should be clear coasting. No, that's not what the Word of God says. That's not the reality. The reality is, I don't care how good you're living, storms are going to come your way. I don't care how much you planned it out. Things are going to come that are going to shake up your plans. Some of you planners here in this room, you got them color-coded planners, right? Them red for this, blue for that. You got them Post-its in different sizes and colors. You think you got your life organized and something will always happen to shake it up. Why? Because we can't be in control. We're not in control. What do we do? This anxiety invades our hearts and our minds. Knocking on your door, anxiety. Hey, Bobe, you home? Hey, Bobe, open that door. It's me, anxiety. You know we chilled last week. Come on, you know we friends. Oh, Mark, it's anxiety. Open the door. You know you got that room for me. We entertain anxiety. We welcome anxiety. We make a home for anxiety. Yet the Word of God says, no, don't be anxious about anything. Anxiety will always come knocking. There will always be situations to kind of toss and turn our lives. One of the most important things that we have to realize is we got to expect it. I don't care how much you planned. I don't care how much you got prayed up. I don't care how much you prepared spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever. Things are going to shake up your life. Things are going to shake up your life. Tim Keller says this, a lot of us are cast down because we don't expect the attacks on our peace and joy that are inevitable. Much of the depression we experience is a depression about our depression. We're sad that we're sad. We're surprised that we're surprised. We're upset that we're upset. Part of being upset is the anger, the guilt, and the frustration we experience when we say it's not supposed to be like this. Hey, reality check. As a believer, storms are coming. Things are going to shake up your life. Hardships, trials, suffering is in your future. Some of you wondering why you came to church today. This is not what I expected. When you have an expectation, it prepares you. It doesn't startle you. It doesn't catch you off guard. And you realize, you know what? I'm suffering a little bit right now, but it's okay. I'm struggling a little bit right now, but it's okay. I'm doubting a little bit right now, but it's okay. Expect it. Expect it, but don't welcome it. Expect it, but don't invite it over. Don't make a home. Don't make a room. Don't set a bed for anxiety in your home, in your heart, or in your mind. The truth is we are at war. We have an enemy. We have a worldview. When we leave this church, there are messages being bombarded at you that are not in alignment to the kingdom of God. Then we have our own flesh that's always trying to creep its way back on the throne of our lives, isn't it? As much as we surrender and surrender and surrender still, we try to make our way back into the place of control. And then we have Satan himself, who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Anxiety. It assaults us. It assaults our hearts and our minds. And it's trying to make the meditation of our heart fear. That's what anxiety does. Turn to your neighbor and say, be anxious for nothing. Some of you guys are getting anxious while I talk about anxiety. What does anxiety do? First thing that anxiety does is it distracts. Everybody say it distracts. Luke 10:41 says this, Martha, Martha. Talking about Martha and Mary, two sisters that invited Jesus into their home. One sister at the foot of Jesus listening to his teachings and another sister running around preparing things, coming in front of Jesus and being like, oh, hello, do you see my sister doing absolutely nothing? Can you tell her? Can you tell her to get up and help me? And Jesus' response is this, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. A play on that Greek word for anxiety means in pieces. Kind of like when we have a nervous breakdown, we go into pieces. Here's Martha, Martha, anxious and troubled. But look what Jesus says. It's not about one thing. He says many things. When anxiety comes, it comes to distract you and get you to fix your eyes on the wind and the wave and the storm and the cloud and the thunder and the lightning that's going on in your life. It wants to distract you from looking to the storm and not to your Savior. One commentary said it like this, anxiety makes many unnecessary tasks feel compulsively urgent. You ever experienced that? You have anxiousness about something, and now you got to do this, 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 and this. They're not really that important, but you're just grasping to get control on something in your life. It distracts. When you're filled with anxiety, you're thinking of other things, and you're not tuning yourself to hearing what God is saying. See, that's what Mary was doing. Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to his words while Martha was listening to her troubles. She was listening to her fears. She was listening to her worries. She was listening to her concerns. When your mind is filled with anxiety, it is making no space for you to hear what God is speaking to you in that moment. Anxiety, it distracts. Second thing anxiety does is it confuses. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." When you are operating in the spirit of fear, there is no sound mind. There is confusion. Think about a moment where you were filled with anxiety. Did you have clarity about what was going on? No, it's like a whirlwind going on in your mind and a storm going on in your heart. You can't make decisions out of fear. You can't make decisions out of anxiety because you will have made a decision in confusion. It confuses. Lastly, what anxiety does is it robs you of your present. Matthew 6:27 says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Anxiety is the greatest thief. It steals your time and it leaves you with nothing. It steals your time and it leaves you with nothing. So now that we've clearly marked out that anxiety sucks, and that anxiety is bad, and that God doesn't want you to wallow in anxiety, let's talk a little bit about how we respond to anxiety. When something anxious happens into our lives, usually you can kind of sum it up into two categories, fight or flight. Fight is this. You become more determined. You get more driven. Okay, I feel like things are out of control. I'm going to take control. You take matters into your own hands, and you actually attempt to try to manipulate or control people or circumstances. I got this. No, I'm going to fight my way out of this. I'm going to figure this out. The problem with that response is you're going to lose. It's not a winning battle. There's no way you can fight anxiety. The second response is flight. Now, you're about to hear a definition of what I do. We run away, or I run away. Or you daydream about running away. You go on your Google search, you type in Bora Bora. You look at those vacation homes, and you daydream about the time where you don't have to think about the things that you're going through. You avoid the issues that cause you anxiety. You put your head in the sand and you just hope and hope and hope and hope that it's going to go away on its own. Magic. You turn to people or you turn to things to distract you. Get a little bit of a drink, smoke a little bit of something. I told you this was my story. When I was in college, I lived a very backslidden life. And even if I didn't describe it, I was anxious. It's so funny. Sometimes we're not even aware of the anxiety that we're in. If you had asked me then, I would have said, oh, life is good. But in reality, I was having reoccurring dreams that actually pointed to my true condition. This reoccurring dream was this. I was driving a car, but the brakes didn't work. And in my dream is literally, it's me trying to avoid every obstacle, everything that I'm trying my best not to die. So I wake up from the dream, sweating, stressed out, and thanking God it was just a dream. Whew, it was just a dream. But if I lived my life, I really convinced myself that it was all good. What pointed to the fact that it really wasn't good is because usually I would turn to things to avoid that which caused me anxiety. I was a big pothead. I don't even know if they use that term anymore. Is that like not in to say? There was something on Facebook about like new slang terms, you know, and I was like, what the heck is going on? You know, catch a shade and this and that. And I was like, what? I don't know any of that stuff. Oh, anyway, I was a pothead, okay? I turned to substances. I turned to drinking. I turned to weed. I turned to drugs to avoid what was causing me anxiety. Because I couldn't handle. I didn't have the hope to actually confront and deal with it. I just thought the only way I can actually get through this day is if I just avoid that which is stressing me out. That which is overwhelming me. We have any runners here? Any fighters here? Which one are you? Fight or flight? When anxiety comes your way, what's your response? What are you doing? How do you react? You putting your fists up? You putting your head in the sand? The problem with fighting is that you're going to lose. The problem with running away is when you run away from the anxiety, you're actually running away from your destiny. One of my favorite Disney movies is Lion King. And in Lion King, there's a scene where Simba thinks he's the reason why his father gets killed. Okay. Have you guys seen Lion King? Okay, thank you, because I was about to go through the whole movie with you. I would do that. But there's a scene where Simba thinks that he's the reason why his father got killed, and he runs away. He can't handle the turmoil that brings him. And so he goes and he runs away, and he meets two little friends, Pumbaa and Timon. And they give him a little song to sing, Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Hakuna Matata. I didn't practice that. That was all just in me. That was all in me. But here's this philosophy. No worries for the rest of my days. No worries. If this stresses me out, I'm just not going to think about it. No worries. If that person stresses me out, I'm just going to cut them out of my life. No problem. No worries. If this job stresses me out, I'm just going to quit. No worries. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's a problem-free philosophy. It's a deception. Hakuna Matata is Simba running away from his rightful place as king. Hakuna Matata is Simba running away from the authority, rightful authority, that belongs to him. Hakuna Matata is Simba running away from his destiny. It feels good, it's easy, it's nice, it's fun. But you're not living the way God has called you to live. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. My husband is fight and I'm flight. Can you imagine what our conflicts are like? Roar. Ah! Like literally, I have daydreamed about so many instances where I was like, I'm going to leave Korea. I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to get out of here. I'm such a flight person. I just avoid conflict. I avoid everything that gives me anxiety. And the word that God is speaking to me at this hour is don't forsake your destiny. Don't forsake your destiny. Fight or flight, how we respond. But what does scripture say? How does the word of God call us to respond to anxiety? It says, don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Fight, flight, and then there's God's way, which is prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Everybody say that. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Now, I want to make it clear that prayer in itself does not resolve anxiety. Some of you guys have prayed. You cried out to God and anxiety still is there. Okay. Prayer is not the actual solution. It's what's supposed to happen in prayer that resolves anxiety. You see, the essence of anxiety is it's rooted in our pride. It's rooted in our desire or our thinking that we need to be self-sufficient. Anxiety happens when we look to gain a security within ourselves. Meaning we look at our situations and we say, okay, this is all on me to figure out. And we get beaten with anxiety. We look at all the responsibilities. We look at all the decisions that we need to be made. And we think this is all up to us. And isn't that the world, what the world says? You make your own destiny. You control your own destiny. You can be whatever you want to be if you put your mind to it. These are the messages the world is bombarding at you. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. And that expectation will crush you. It will destroy you because you can't handle that burden. I'm a mom of two. Anxiety knocks on my door every 5 seconds. I have so many people pulling for my attention, demanding that I pay attention to them. I have the church. I have my work. I have my husband. I have my child number one. I got my child number two. You know, I waited for the day when Shiloh could say, Amma. She said, Appa first. That's daddy in Korean. And I was like, what? You know who birthed you? Like, are you serious? You want to talk about rightful order? Like, you better say, Amma. And she's like, Appa, Appa, Appa. And I was like, oh, this is just messed up. And I was so jealous that she was acknowledging her father, and she didn't say my name. I'm at a point in my life where I almost wish she forgot how to say Amma, because Amma, 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 Amma. How do you guys wake up? A little jingle to your alarm? You know, a little beep, 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 beep. You want to know how I go? Amma! Amma, 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 Amma. And then I got baby number two. He doesn't know how to say Amma, but he knows how to cry. And then I got my husband being like, hey, hon, do you know where the socks are? How am I supposed to know where your socks are? What are you talking about? And then I think, oh, shoot, I gotta deal with this issue at church. There's 50 million things bombarding. Anxiety, 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 anxiety. Hello, 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 hello. And the thought that I have is I have to take care of it. It's up to me. If I fail someone, they fail. It's this pressure, this burden. It's almost like a savior complex. If I'm not the one that's going to be there for my daughter, every second she calls me, I failed her. That's a crushing expectation. It's this pride that we think it's up to us. It's on our shoulders. In essence, we think that we have to take care of it apart from God. It's when we trust ourselves more than when we trust God. Because if you're a believer, God's in the equation. Oh, no, I trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I mean, you can recite the Bible verses, but secretly, deep down, you're trusting yourself more than Him. When anxiety comes, you're saying, it's up to me. It's up to me. It's up to me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. We're anxious because we think it's up to us. We're anxious because we think God doesn't care enough about this situation. Isn't it funny that there's certain areas in your life that cause you anxiety and other areas that don't? Like when I think about, I'm trying to think of what doesn't cause me anxiety. Lord, help me. No, really, when I think about finances, I don't get anxious. I think I have a history with God where He has pulled through so many times. There's this solidification where I know God cares for me in this area. And then when I think about church-related things, shepherding issues, waves of anxiety come. I feel anxious, and it's weird because technically I should really believe that God cares about His people, but deep down, I feel like He doesn't. Where you experience anxiety is actually pointing to a place where you have cut off God in your life. So when you take a survey and you say, this gives me anxiety, that is the very place where God wants to break in and where He wants to reestablish His throne. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. That's the first command. When we humble ourselves, we cast all our anxieties on Him. Why? Because the truth is, He cares for you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, He cares for you. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So when the scripture says it's time to pray, it's time to lay your petition, your request to God. What scripture is actually causing us or calling us to do is to realign ourselves and put God back on the throne over that area in our lives. You can pray and actually not do that. That's why prayer in and of itself does not work. When we just trust prayer alone, you're still trusting yourself, because if you don't pray, then what are you going to do? I didn't have time to pray about that, so I'm going to be anxious about it, because it's still on your shoulders. That's not the truth. When scripture says pray, petition with thanksgiving, it's not talking about it's up to you to pray. It's talking about pray, because that's when you realize it's on him. That's when you realign yourself back to God being on the throne. And watch this. It's not just prayer and supplication. It's with thanksgiving. Everybody say with thanksgiving. This is the part we like to leave out, isn't it? When we cry out to God, God, I need a job. And you know I need a job. But I don't want any other job. I just want a good job. Can I get a job with some good pay, with some good people? You lay your petition. That's good. That's great. But when you omit thanksgiving, you still have not put God on the throne. He's enthroned with our praises. That's what scripture says. When you begin to thank God, not only for what he's done in your life, but believing in what he's going to do, that's when the right order happens. God, I put you back in the place. I could put you back in the place you're supposed to be in. You know, the way that I came to Korea is actually a really crazy story. I was just graduating from college, and I was preparing for a missions trip. I know it makes me sound like I was really holy, but I wasn't, because as I was preparing for a missions trip, I was still stumbling. I was still struggling with a lot of sins, okay? I was still smoking weed. I was still sexually promiscuous, all while preparing to go to a missions trip. And one of the biggest anxieties that I had on my heart in that season was, what was I going to do next? Like, what am I going to do with my life? Because that's what everyone asks you when you graduate college. Like, what's next? So what are you going to do? And I'm like, stop asking me. I don't know. It's like people calling you, be like, how long are you going to be in Korea for? How long are you going to teach English for? Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And here are these questions, and I didn't know the answers to. And it's so weird, because for that season, I became like slightly OCD. Like, my room needed to be this way. I put my shampoos like in the height order. Like, everything that I could control, I wanted to control, because I felt so out of control. And in the season of anxiety, my uncle calls me up, and he says, hey, I got a job opportunity for you in Korea to teach English. And education is actually what I studied in undergrad, so it made sense. But I really didn't want to go, because I really didn't like Korea. I'm Korean-American, but every time I visited Korea, my family, I hated it. I looked the part, but I'm not in here. I'm not Korean. I'm Korean, but I culturally am very American in my heart of hearts. Well, I'm not actually American. I'm Korean-American. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm saying, right? It's not one or the other. It's this blend. So I was so anxious. I was so stressed out about this future. And here is this opportunity to come to Korea. And I'm thinking, oh, man, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I wanted to make this decision with clarity. And I remember that it would be wise, or it would be smart to pray. So that's what I did. Me, in my struggle, in the midst of my sin, because, I mean, when do we ever have it together? Right? But me, in the hot mess that I was then, and I'm still a hot mess now, I got on my knees and I prayed and I asked God, if this is you, can you make it clear? I petitioned before the Lord and I realigned myself, saying, hey, God, if this is you, make it clear, because I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it yours. I don't want to make this decision based on what I like or what I don't like. I want to make this decision based on how you're leading me and how you're guiding me. And I relinquished my anxiety at Jesus. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm just not going to stress out about it. I'm going to believe that God is going to make it clear. And my anxiety diminished until I decided that I was going to go and I needed to get my diploma. So I made a phone call, because my diploma had not arrived. I called my university, State University of New York, Binghamton. Woo woo. And I said, hey, my name is Erin. I'm in this department. I didn't get my diploma yet. They said, okay, Miss Lee, hold on a second. And I was like, what's going on? And she goes, Miss Lee, it looks as though you haven't graduated. I was like, what? I thought, I wore the cap and gown, and I walked the walk. She goes, oh, well, actually, you can do that even 8 credits shy of fulfilling your credits. I was like, what? What are you telling me right now? She said, honey, you haven't graduated. And she looked at my transcript, and she said, oh, here it is. You had a class that you took and that you got an incomplete on, and it turned into an F. And I was like, what? And she goes, it's not just any class, but it's a class that pertains to your major. It's a specific class you had to take. Then in that moment, can you imagine the storm that was brewing? Here I am. Oh, Lord, I surrender. I'm going to go to Korea for you. And boom, storm. And I was like, wait, God, what's going on? Anxiety. So what did I do? I did what I knew to do. I got high. And as I got high, I thought to myself, I'm not even going to do the motion. I'm sorry. It just naturally went there. When I did that, I was avoiding the issue, but I was still filled with anxiety. And it wasn't so much I was anxious about my future, which I was. I was more anxious about telling my parents, guess what? I didn't graduate. Yeah. I called my mom. She was golfing in a really good mood. Oh, Shiona. I'm like, oh, shoot, this is going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. I didn't graduate. Silence. Ma! And on and on. I was anxious. I was stressed out. I didn't know what to do. The storm was hitting me. The storm was brewing. I turned to old responses, and still nothing was getting resolved. And I thought to myself, okay, how do I handle this situation? I was so desperate, I went to early morning prayer. That's when you know you're desperate for God. I went to early morning prayer with my mom, and I got on my knees, and I opened up the Bible, because at that time I was immature, and the way that I read the Bible was like, you know? And the Lord opened up me, the scripture opened up to Job. And I read a little bit of Job, and I was like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. I was like, I didn't graduate. Like, it's okay. I'm just going to go to summer school. Like, just reality check. And I just said, God, you know what? I'm going to trust this into your hands. Even this situation where I feel so out of control, I'm going to remind myself that I can't fix this, that I can't resolve this. I might have created it, but I don't know how to resolve it. God, I trust in you. The verse that I was holding on to was Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The night before, I wrote a frantic email to that professor. It was a sophomore year professor. And I remember the class. I was supposed to get some grade, but I wanted an A. And so I asked for an extension, but I never gave that final assignment. And the teacher left to teach abroad, so I never followed up, and I just forgot about it. So I emailed this professor just thinking, there's no way she's going to remember me, but I told her my situation, and I just sent it, and I just like, okay, God, it's in your hands. I went to morning prayer. I prayed the prayer. I surrendered. I said, God, if I have to go to summer school, I'm just going to go to summer school. It's all good. If I'm going to lose this job, I'm going to lose this job. It's all good. If things don't work out the way that I planned, it's all good, because my peace will not be from my circumstances. It's going to be from the fact that you care for me. I went to the office, church office, after morning prayer. I checked my email, and I got an email from that professor. It said, oh, Erin, I remember you. You wanted to get an A, but you were supposed to get a B. So I went into the admissions office today, or the office today, and I changed your grade from F to B. Congratulations, you graduated. I was like, what? What? Oh, Ma, I graduated. She hit me. She's like, fool. I graduated? You know what God was teaching me in that moment? He was teaching me that I'm not in it by myself. That's what he was showing me. He's like, I'm going to do what you can't do. Just to show you that you're not in it by yourself. I'm not a father that abandons his child. Christian is not a father who tells Shiloh, hey, make it happen. You make your own money. You get your own food. You clothe yourself, my 2.5-year-old daughter. Can you imagine? You take care of yourself and we will watch. But that's how we feel like God is with us. We think he's a good father, yes, from a distance. But when it comes to our very issues and the very things that concern our hearts, we think he's separate from it. And in that moment, God was saying, are you kidding me? I'm for you. Who can be against you? Are you kidding me? I care for you. I'm never going to abandon you. God began to realign my heart, my mind with his truth. And I realized that then and there, he made it very clear I was going to Korea. Any doubt that I possibly had, he said, no. I can't make it any clearer than this. This is your destiny. What anxiety are you facing today? What's troubling your heart? What's overwhelming you? What's causing you to lose sleep? What's giving you that tension in your body? What's in your life that's stressing you out? What is it? Look at that place in your life and go on your knees and remind yourself, God, you're in it with me. God, you're in it with me. You have not abandoned me. We can hold on to that truth so firmly and so confidently because God abandoned his one and only son so that we would never be abandoned. You think Jesus never faced anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was on his knees praying, knowing that the cross was ahead? How anxious must he been? Scripture says that his heart was heavy and troubled. He was looking to his future and saying, no. God, if there's any way that this doesn't need to happen, please take it away. That was his heart. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He was not immune to the anxiety that we face. He faced it himself. And yet his response didn't end there. He says, but still, Lord, if it's your will. Not my will, but your will. I submit myself back into your control. Anxiety, to relieve it, is to take ourselves out of control and put God back in. Not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus went to the cross because it was the Father's will. And he was forsaken and he was abandoned so that you and I can experience a heavenly Father. That relationship can be restored. And it's not a Father who watches from a distance. It's a Father that's right with you. He's a Father that goes through the storm with you. He's a Father who's in the boat with you. And he's saying, stop looking at the wind and the waves and remember that it is I who can calm that storm. Be still and know that I am God. What is the anxiety that you're facing? Well, that anxiety is an invitation for you to get a revelation of God's care for you. It's an invitation to get a revelation of God's commitment to you. You are not alone. This is not on your shoulders. It is then and only then we can pursue that which gives us anxiety with a clear mind and a clear heart, and we can tackle that which is in our responsibility. We don't avoid, we don't fight, but we move forward in our destiny. We confront the issues at hand, but we do it knowing that God is with us. That's a different ballgame. That's a different life experience when you know that God is with you. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I want you guys to just close your eyes.